Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So merry belated Christmas, merry belated holidays. Did you get what you wanted? Did Santa stop by and give you the fancy new gift? Did he fill your stocking full of coal? Something to throw into the fireplace to keep you warm? Might be a good gift nowadays, so it seems. Outside of the carbon credits you'd have to pay for something like that. But one of my buddies, funny enough, was talking about getting one of his sons a brand new monitor. But not for a computer. No, strictly for his PlayStation. It's kind of funny how far technology has come throughout the years. I remember over a summer, decades ago, way long ago, getting a used Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, during the summer as a hand-me-down kind of a situation. A relative was moving and had to downsize everything, so that was one of the things we got. Very cool thing, very enjoyable. Played the heck out of that. And then there was a Christmas time where my parents actually got me and my siblings a brand new Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Still have that sitting in the closet around here. Can play some of those games on the, most of the games on the LCD TVs. NES is not so useful anymore with the Duck Hunt gun. You need a CRT monitor for those. Cathode ray tube. Antiques. Giant heavy pieces of furniture. Playing Duck Hunt on a TV that doubled as a tabletop, so it seemed. One of those TVs that you only see. It's really intricate woodwork and miserable to move. It was fun. Good times. And again, that Super Nintendo. All the video game time spent on that. It was one heck of a Christmas. And I've played my fair share of video games growing up. Actually turned into a PC gamer. After many years of console games, the N64 era is about the time that I started switching over, learning how to get into computer games. And then as more and more came along, or more and more playing on them, I realized that a mouse and a keyboard is much better than a controller. Unless the video game is designed for a controller. There's a older game, Titanfall, that I really enjoyed as a PC game because my PC could do better graphics than the console, but the game was designed for a controller, not a keyboard and mouse. Much more fluid movement, and the PC version of that game did not have as good of a following as the Xbox version. But so it goes. But that was the whole point of building a computer. Knock those graphics right out of the water of what the Xbox and PlayStation were able to do well after cartridges left. In the era of cartridges, computers weren't programmed much better for graphics. We didn't know that that much. Couldn't do that much processing power. But we were improving. And again, we got to those Xbox and PlayStation years. And again, computers being able to upgrade and modify. And if you were so bold, overclock your processor and memory. You could have all 16 games installed instead of uninstalling and reinstalling downloaded packs on your hard drive. Or even, again, if you were so bold, you could go in and modify the registry or the code of the video game. Make it just a little bit more personable. Elder Scrolls being one of the big games that had all of the user modifications that you could download. Go crazy making that game all your own. Internet connectivity, too, was a better deal through the computer, not having to worry about everything. But the computer systems of today, the video games that are coming out, and I'm sure there's still an advantage to having a PC over an Xbox or a PlayStation, but the Xboxes and PlayStations of today are so much more powerful. And just the thought of buying a monitor specifically for the video game system. Just funny. I wouldn't buy a TV just for a video game system. I'd have a TV for my VHS and my DVDs and my regular TV. And let's add a video game system and enjoy it, embrace it. But they're powerful and the monitors are good. My buddy was sitting there questioning why you had to have a specific type of monitor because the regular TV wasn't fast enough. He's not a real gamer. He doesn't understand. I remember when I got my first LCD TV, I specifically went out and looked for the 240 megahertz processor because of how the shadows would interact within the greater TV. Little things that you figure out and you notice when shopping, when playing video games, you just got like ghost trails. And that marketing deal seemed to have fallen by the wayside. You had to be careful on which TV brand you buy because cheaper TVs, none of them will list the 240 megahertz processor. It's probably 8 million times faster now. But you don't know about picture quality until it's too late, until you've purchased it. But monitors, small, compact, always meant for high visual aspect because you're going to be close to the screen. You're going to be able to see more detail as opposed to things that are further away. You can kind of blur the lines. So it seems. Now granted, I don't have a 4K TV, so who knows how all that works out. But technology has come so far. It's kind of mind-boggling and enjoyable because there's those of us, probably seems a little bit fewer, but I know there's a lot more just because technology is so prevalent. You get so many people willing to push the envelope that you've got some people that are more than happy to sit and embrace an architecture, be that Windows or Apple or Android, being able to interconnect things like your Alexa, Google Home, whatever other gizmos and gadgets that are out there. So we can have our Star Trek, Star Wars, space interaction with our smart homes. But for those of us that have built computers over the years, you can't just throw them away in the trash. There's too many super chemicals in there. And you want to talk about being green and efficient. You definitely can't throw those away. You might need that AGP card for whatever reason. Back in the days before PCIe, get those ISA slots before PCI. And there's a point where hardware does become outdated, excessive, very bulky. Got some motherboards and some hardware laying around here that are gigantic compared to hardware of today. There's some things that are about the same size, but the processing power is worlds beyond. And so again, what are we supposed to do with that? Just throw it out, donate it, let Goodwill and Value Village throw it in the garbage heap for us so we feel less guilty? Or can we put it to use? It's kind of hard, again, when Windows and Apple slow things down or there's too many background processes going. And the open source software situation has become much more prevalent and available than it was when I first heard about Linux. It sounded like such a good idea to be able to run Linux and not worry about Windows. But I was probably running Windows 98 when I first heard about Linux. And it was all coding, so it seemed, unless you got Red Hat. And Red Hat wanted money, so that was out of the option for me. But Linux is now feasible. It's possible. I'm running Linux Mint, my main driver. Been running it for a couple years now, learning it and appreciating it. Still not a super programmer, but again, I'm learning. And I've been learning enough, understanding bits and pieces here and there, doing my best to revive old hardware because I'm not running Windows on it. There's only so much that I need an old computer to be able to do. And I can repurpose these machines. I've got one machine that's not currently running, but for when I get around to doing live broadcasts on internet radio. It's a broadcast machine. It'll be its primary use. Make it so that way, connect all the audio directly out to that one. Send it out. I created not a Bitcoin miner, but a wallet, a verification sheet, if you will, on the Bitcoin network. on another piece of old hardware. Again, making sure it's not going in the landfill. And just this last weekend, I revived a motherboard from 2008 and made a music media server for the house. Now it's kind of pushing the limits on how far back you can go. Linux seems to no longer support single core. Maybe the media server version of Linux might. Linux Mint, however, not going to support single core processors. They're just going to be too slow, take up too much energy, not be a good enough return on investment. Might be time for the landfill on those, but I'd hate to do that. I want to learn how to break these down, scoop out the gold and other precious metals out of them, collect them all and turn them all in. That uses chemicals to break stuff down. I don't have a flow hood, but I'll keep working towards it. And again, I know I'm an outlier in certain aspects of these things. Get looked at funny when I tell people that I don't have GPS on my phone. But I also don't have an Alexa or Google Home or whatever other smart speaker in my house. I feel so weird walking into people's houses talking, and then all of a sudden they say the home talking tube speaker to do something. Sitting there going, oh, I've been recorded this whole time. I didn't sign the disclaimer waiver or whatever. As I nitpick, become a curmudgeon. Can't necessarily walk into people's houses and tell them to turn off their smart speaker. I think it seems silly to tell people that they need to have a disclaimer as I walk into the door that I'm going to be recorded. Because we all just don't seem to care about it at all. Just kind of is what it is. Talking to people, they laugh about it, joke about it. Their speaker, their phone, it's always listening to them. We were just talking about this and start showing me ads for that or popping up on Instagram. And there may be a time and a place for something like that. But I don't want everybody else listening in. It's not that I'm hiding all of my conversations. Talk to people plenty in public, and people in public can perfectly overhear. But I won't be stored into a database to then be sold an advertisement later. Remember having conversations with one person a while back. We'd be having a conversation, all of a sudden their phone's talking to them like, oh, I didn't understand what you were saying. Can you please repeat that? It's like, no, wasn't even talking to you, phone. We didn't even say your magic word, and you're already asking us to repeat sentences. There is a part of me, though, that would really like my own personal talking tube. Walk in, turn on the lights, instead of having to clap my hands to turn them on and off. That's a dated reference for those of you out there. Maybe it's still a thing. Being able to turn on the oven or turn it off. Start the coffee maker. Turn the lights on and off. Got those smart lights I was gifted a couple years ago. And they're fun. Except, again, I'm the guy that has them connected to a separate router that is not even connected to the main network. So they can't talk to the internet. Or the internet can't talk to them, more specifically. And so the only way to control those is with a third phone, a phone that is only connected to that network, that Internet of Things network. So they're kind of useless lights, which makes me sad. I want to use them. I need a better extra phone because the one that is currently being used is a cracked screen. But if I wanted to, I could use the lights. I think those lights are actually going to get relocated in the future. I've got a better location for them than where they're at. Utilize the color changing functions. It's almost to the point that I wish that, almost wish, still happy that I'm one of those terrible millennials that doesn't have kids. They seem like a lot of responsibility and I'd hate to be an absolute failure. So this works out better. But the point of having a child that is now old enough that we could team up, start learning how to code the Arduinos. Now I know there's a excuse to be that I can learn it on my own, but that's just one extra task. Get the kid, push them down this hall, down this hill, or give them the boost to start climbing this hill, however we're going to look at it. Start learning how to code. Let them take the reins. Have them program the talking tube and the automatic lights. Get them excited about it. Get them to start programming small, home-sized things. Invest in this market for those of us, again, curmudgeons, don't want to be locked into certain infospheres, market spheres, where we have to log into, maybe it's just one master account, then we have all the sub accounts, log in with this main super provider website, and then all your subscriptions are sent through there. It makes it easy on billing and passwords, so you don't have to remember everything and not be like Billy Bones with 13 different passwords and 17 different emails and 14 different whatever accounts and however many other things to make my life difficult, but make all the hackers' lives difficult. And that's not a challenge. It's a challenge enough for me to remember everything. Gonna have to start writing emails and passwords underneath my keyboard. Don't look. But the embrace of the small home network, the home integration on these Arduinos is something that can be done. Programming is more and more accessible, and especially with this advent of AI, all of the programming languages that are out there make it so that way we can make it so that the chicken door opens at 6:30 a.m. and closes at 7 p.m. Or maybe we attach a light sensor, photo sensor, to that Arduino board so that way 10 minutes after that signal goes away, the door shuts. Hopefully all the chickens have made it back into the coop. But home automation is a thing. It's a potential. It's exciting. And again, I don't need a kid to learn this Arduino stuff. I just need to make more time for myself to learn, to embrace the lifestyle that is definitely a lot more work than just signing up for Windows, Apple, Android, Amazon, Google, whoever. Just letting it all integrate, interconnect. Again, it makes it nice and easy. But I don't want them listening. Bah, humbug. This is supposed to be a Merry Christmas. Again, hopefully you get the new thing that you wanted. Or maybe you got cookies. I got a whole bunch of cookies from neighbors and friends and coworkers this year. And it's been an awesome series of gifts. I did get socks from my neighbor. Very fitting for the holidays. Actually, that's the one thing on TV they were talking about, that apparently socks were one of the number one gifts that people were asking for this year. And you can get cheap, terrible socks, and you can get expensive, sometimes justified, sometimes not, expensive socks. But socks are good. Clothes are good. Hated those as a kid. Why do I need clothes? Santa's terrible giving me clothes. It's mean. But clothes are expensive. Apparently always have been and always will be. But we do have a better selection nowadays. But again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Festivus, whatever else is out there. Hopefully, again, you had a good one. And I've been Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at NoAgendaSocial.com. I've got a website, BillyBones.com. Remember that it's spelt with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you'll find show notes, past shows, all sorts of bonus links about me, Billy Bones, and a link that says Value for Value. I release this show, no advertisers, no paywalls, no one to tell me what I can or cannot say in hopes that you find value out of it. Be it the single episode or the entire catalog, I hope you found some value out of it. And if you did, the first thing I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, gets the gears turning. But if you found it was worth a monetary value, again, you go to billybones.com, you click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, you chip in, you donate, you support the show at a number that you feel is appropriate, a number that you feel that I may have earned for speaking into this microphone. Like today's executive producer, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, sending in his monthly $15 donation. Thank you very much, sir. There's also new podcast apps. Go find yourself a modern podcast app, modernpodcastapps.com. Get into the revolution of how podcasting is going to be listened to and consumed. And you can stream and donate Satoshis, teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin. Don't seem to see any this week. But thank you very much for listening. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.